Praise the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I want you to please stand up on your feet tonight. Let's please, with all due respect, put our hands together for the gift of God in the life of God. Amen. I used to say that every chance that we have, every platform of prayer, is an opportunity for another story. So that you prayed last week, you prayed last night, you have not seen an evidence, doesn't mean that something is not happening. So anytime we have the opportunity, I was resting this afternoon and God began to reveal so many things to me. And I know that even my coming here is not wasted.
Amen.
I believe all of us, we have a testimony in Jesus' name.
Amen.
We thank God for yesterday, what a visitation from heaven. And I want you to also come with that same passion and zeal tonight and be expectant. Amen.
Amen.
God will surprise us in Jesus'
Amen.
Name. He will make a way for you and I in Jesus' name. I want us to please step forward because it's like you are too far away from me. Let everybody come forward. Let's do one or two prayers. And then we will listen to the word. Thank you, sister. I love sisters like this. Will you follow me to Detroit? Oftentimes when I'm leading prayer and I ask people to come forward and they will be looking at the back as if they are not one of those that are supposed to come and pray. Prayer is very good. Charles Spurgeon, I don't know whether I said that yesterday, but I just remember that he said that he would prefer to teach one man to pray than to teach 10 people how to preach. Because prayer moves mountains. It's my prayer tonight that after this 10th year anniversary, you will give a testimony.
Amen.
Yesterday, we just treated Psalm chapter 4. And verse 2. But we'll look at verse 1. He said, O ye sons of men, how long will ye turn my glory into shame? How long will ye love vanity and seek after? Listen. And then we now look at Psalm 30, verse 12, to the end that my glory may sing praise. And we said yesterday that it's possible that your glory may be silenced. Your glory may be silent. He said, my glory should sing praise. May everybody carry a form of glory. Every one of us, that is the glory of the sun, the glory of the moon. Every one of us were born for a purpose. And oftentimes we need to pray ourselves out of whatever is keeping us in the hiding place. The extent of your prayer will determine whether you are able to get yourself delivered or you will be swimming in the realm of the captivity of the enemy. If you go back and look at that Psalm chapter 4 and verse 1, it said, hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. You can see it does not those words it doesn't make sense. It was when I was in distress that you now enlarged me. So it means some of us have the privilege to pray ourselves out of the present situation to be enlarged. What does it mean to be in distress? Distress is extreme anxiety because of unfulfilled desires. Extreme anxiety, burden, disappointment because of unfulfilled promises. Distress is to be in sorrow. Distress is to be in pain. After tonight, Holy Communion and anointing service, distress will be far away from us.
Amen.
So the first thing he said is that, hear me. Hear me. So if the psalmist is saying, hear me, then it's possible for God not to hear or for him to be silent. Everybody wants to be great, and we've been praying since we know Jesus. Why are we still struggling? So hear me is a continuous tense. As far as I see the scriptures, you can say it in the morning, in the evening, in the afternoon. Hear me, Lord. Hear me, Lord. Hear me, Lord. Hear me, Lord. And I know one day the manifestation will come.
Amen.
And I believe after this prayer, you will receive manifestation.
Amen.
So the first prayer point we want to talk to God is, Lord, you know all my heart desire. You know all the prayers I prayed last year, the one some people have been praying the same prayer point for 10 years. When I was believing God for the child, every prayer we end up in God, give us a child. There was a time I pastored the church in Detroit from Canada for 7 years. I was commuting from Canada almost every day, sometimes 3 times in a day. I would drop my son in the school in Canada, come to church in the U.S. In the afternoon, I would go back to Canada, pick my son, take him home, come back to church in the U.S. So they even know me at the border. So they made a mistake at the border one day, because we are Canadian citizens working in the U.S. And my work permit kind of expired in the U.S. And I told them, they said, you are a Canadian citizen, you can be coming. So one day somebody accosted me and I said it was an error for me to be using my Canadian status to enter U.S. when I have a pending case that has not been approved yet. So they said they won't allow me to come to U.S. again. So they stopped me for 6 months from coming to the U.S. So when we pray while eating, Father, bless this food. Let it nourish our soul, spirit, and body. Please remember our immigration. So the Yoruba people said, whatever is paining you is what you talk about all the time. So whatever is paining you is what you mention all the time. So some of us have been mentioning the same thing all over and all over again. It's not because God has not answered. There are several factors that determines prayer answered. Are you walking in the path of a prayer answered life? There are some requirements that makes God answers our prayers. Requirement of obedience, holiness. There are some conditions that allow some prayers to be answered. For instance, when you bring a product from Africa, mango from Africa, and during the winter season here you want to plant them, you won't get anything. So there are some conditions that allow prayer to thrive. I don't know whether yesterday I was talking about I went to a mountain to pray. I was coming back home. And just some few minutes before I got home, a dog ran from somewhere, wanted to bite my wife. And I shouted on the dog. And my wife said, why did you shout? We've been praying for 3 days, no food. And I said, I'm shouting to save you. You shouldn't have shouted. I said, are you sick? Is there anything wrong with you? And then I heard the voice says, you miss it again. When it is very close for the breakthrough, argument will. So many, it's not that God has not answered some of us. The devil knows how to take the answer away. That's why I have a book that I wrote on breaking the yoke of barrenness. There are three secrets revealed. Do you know it is argument that kept Abraham and Sarah not to be fruitful for 25 years? 25 years. Ordinary argument kept the promise of God. God said, Abraham, I will make you a great nation. So, now, when God has spoken, people thought it's automatic for whatever God says to come to pass. So God's words are conditioned upon some requirements. Your own cooperation with him. God said, you'll make Abraham a great nation. He said, don't come as we are going to where I will make you a great nation. I know that when you bring your family along, there will be some contentions. Don't bring any family along. Oh, Abraham said, no, I can't be alive and see my uncle's son suffered. So out of passion, he was being hospitable as against the will of God. Do you know you can be doing good and still be affecting your own future? Because you want to show people good, you want to show people kindness. So Abraham came with a lot. So this business now began to expand. Lot expanding, Abraham expanding, contention began to happen. When the servants of Abraham get home in the night, they will be telling Abraham, look, oh, your cousin, look at what he's doing to us on the field. Mama Sarah will say, is it a sin to help somebody? And so that discussion, that bitterness, kept Isaac away for 25 years. So they kept saying, yes, God has promised us he will give us a church. But as God is promising them, and God keep coming and say, I will bless you, they have the promise. But they themselves were not conditioned for the fulfillment of the promise because of argument. So in Genesis chapter 13, verse 14, God was so merciful to Abraham, and God inspired Abraham to ask Lot to leave. And I said, Lot, whatever you want to take out of this blessing, take them away. Just go. Sometimes, for God to answer us, you will pay a price. That price may be humbling yourself. Tell the person who is fighting you to be sorry, instead of you expecting the person to say sorry. It may be you forgetting somebody owes you money, and you have had bitterness against that person. You just say, okay, and you and your money just go, because I know my help come from. So that's some price. And in that Genesis 13, verse 14, God now came and said, oh, you have sent Lot away. He said, very good. Now you have a complete obedience of what I instructed you 25 years ago. He said, look at the sky. I'm renewing the covenant that I have with you 25 years ago. Now that you have listened to me, now that strife is gone, disagreement is gone, bitterness is gone. Brethren, it's not that God doesn't answer prayer. The only thing is that devil set us up. He knows the only reason that your prayer will not be answered is to set you up. He will make somebody offend you. He will will deliberately make somebody to talk to you the way you don't like. Devil will, you know, devil controls our emotions. Either Holy Spirit is controlling it or devil is controlling it. So devil knows how to quickly cause offenses. We will finish praying here. And between here and your car park, before you pick your car, somebody will cause an offense. They will just raise a matter that does not concern you. They will bring to your notice somebody who has done something wrong to you. So they will remind you of something that will make you offended, even before you leave the church. So all the prayers that has been answered, you just before you get out of the church, the devil takes away from you. So the psalmist says, hear me, Lord. Hear me when I call. It's my prayer that God will hear you tonight.
Amen.
And when he hears you, the enemy will not take it away.
Amen.
This one prayer you want to pray tonight, heavens will hear you.
Amen.
So there are so many reasons why prayers are not answered. I've told you, strife is one of them. Number two, when you are not consistent about your prayers. Inconsistency about prayers may delay your prayers. We are born from different backgrounds. Some of us have the same platform for our prayers, which is this church. But there's somebody whose problem started about 200 years ago. 200 years ago. Hezekiah, when he wanted to be punished. You know, that's the man that prayed that he should not die. And Isaiah, the prophet, came back to him and said, okay, God said he has added 14 years. I mean, is it 14? 15. So 15 years. And during the 15 years, he made some mistakes. And God now said, okay, you see, because you made these mistakes, the enemy will come, they will chain you, they will punish you, they will carry your children away as captives. All the terrible things God said it will happen to Hezekiah. You know what he said? He said, God has said very well. What God said is good, but please don't let it happen when I'm alive. Let my children suffer it. You are hearing it for the first time? That's what that great mind, that's why when they call some people Hezekiah, I said, this name, I don't want to call my children Hezekiah because they didn't behave well at the end. Let me give you an example. Gehazi, who was working for Elisha. You know, in 2 Kings chapter 5, there is a man called Naaman. He was a big warrior, the head of the army of Syria. And so he was a leper. And he came to Elisha for healings. And he brought a lot of gifts. So Elisha asked him to go and do certain things. He did it and he was healed. So now brought this gift, he gave it to Elisha. Elisha said, no, I'm not taking gift from you. Go away with your gift. Ah! And maybe Gehazi, his own family, they are very, very poor. He just came into the ministry, but from a poor family. He said, am I going to be suffering throughout this ministry? This is an opportunity now. If my Oga doesn't want it, me, I can get it. So he went and double-crossed him and said, my Oga said, that gift, oh, I should collect it. So he collected those gifts. When he came back, God opened the eyes of the prophet. He saw that he collected the gift that the prophet rejected. And he said, I didn't collect anything. And Elisha said, you will become a leper and every generation that comes from you. So sometimes you ask yourself, why am I going through what I'm going through? For instance, leprosy, there are what we call spiritual leprosy. Spiritual leprosy means you will not see the physical effect of a leper. But leprosy represents hatred, isolation, a life of hatred, because you don't go close to, even when doctors, ordinary fever from Nigeria, fever. When you say, are you from Africa? Did you travel to Africa? When you say, yes, I came back next week, they will just isolate you in the hospital. They will put masks. They will put everything. Not to talk of leper. When you come here with a leper, leprosy, if the doctors here want to treat you, they will use an equipment to reach you. They won't even touch your body. So, leprosy represents isolation. Oh, your life has been a life of isolation. People just avoid you. Nothing good comes to you. Maybe you are from a generation of Gehazi. Order. When I said it, somebody in the front, just looking down. Where did your great-great-grandfather up to level 5, where did they come from? No. If anybody knows that, okay, your great-grandfather 200 years ago, you know where they came from. Can I see your hands? Maybe those of you that are abusing Hausas, Hausa, they are bad people. They are not, Fulanis are bad, Sokoto are bad. Maybe you originated from that place. Some of you are from China. Some of you from the Czech Republic. Some of you from Cameroon. You don't even know your origin, whether your origin has been caused. So some of the things we suffer now, we don't know the root. Salvation from sin is different from salvation from curse. What salvation from sin does is to change your soul, to renew your soul, to make you a new person in terms of walking with God. The curse has to do with your bloodstream. So that is why when you are saved, it does not save you from bondage. For instance, you have sickness in your body and you receive Christ. There are two different things. I gave my life to Jesus Christ. It didn't take away the sickness. What it does is it gives you a new spirit. You have to pray for the sickness to be healed. That's the better way to explain it. So sickness, including curses, you carry them into salvation. So you have to pray yourself out of those challenges. May I hear somebody say amen?
Amen.
So you want to cry to the Almighty God. You want to cry. Hear me, Lord. You know all my heart desire. So I want you to pray it very hard, because I don't want to waste time here. You will pray it loud and clear. You will say, Father, hear me tonight. You know my challenges. You know my problems. You know all my supplications. Hear me tonight. Go ahead and begin to pray. Tonight, hear me tonight, hear me tonight, hear me tonight, hear me tonight. In Jesus' precious name, we pray. He said, thou art enlarged me when I was in distress. Enlargement in distress means you are believing God for a dollar. And you have been struggling in debt. All you need is a dollar. And suddenly, as you are getting out of the debt, you became a millionaire. So it means you're coming out. There is a force beyond you that prepares you beyond what you even expect. Thou as enlargement means expansion. It means extension. That thou have extended me beyond my ability. It means amplification. Thou has amplified my life. I was struggling before, and suddenly, even where I thought I was supposed to be, I was looking for a job of $100 per hour. And suddenly, as I was struggling, God, give me a job, give me a job. And you see here, they will tell you the range of your job. If you're a mechanical engineer, they will tell you you can earn between so-so to so-so-so. If you're a medical doctor, they will give you a range. So you have programmed in your heart that God, if you just give me a job, just give me a job. I know I'm expecting to earn $33,000 per year. And you were in this distress. Suddenly an offer came. And the offer now is not the $33,000 that you're expecting. They are telling you that we are going to offer you a director position. Instead of 33,000, they say you are going to be getting 250,000, and you became confused. But there is a place for that in this scripture. Thou hast enlarged me beyond my expectation. It's to be amplified, to be magnified. There was a woman who was a virgin. She kept her virginity until she became a 60 years old woman. And she started serving her God. People sometimes will look at her and say, ah, Christianity did not pay this person. How will you keep your virginity? Those who are When I was an unbeliever, there is a lady that committed abortion many times. As soon as she married, she started bearing children like pig. And I've met so many people that will tell me, my ministry pastor, I married as a virgin. And 20 years, 25, 30 years, no child. And those who committed abortion will be having children. So this woman who married at 60, one of the prominent general overseer in Africa, lost his wife. And this woman at 60 years old, the general overseer has church all over the world. All over the world. So this woman who is now 60 years old was the one the general overseer located to marry. At 60, she became the mother of many nations. If she goes to Ghana, they will come and receive her, red carpet received by her children. She goes to Cameroon, red carpet reception. She goes to London, red carpet reception. Come to America, red carpet. At 60, that's the true interpretation of thou enlarge me when I was in distress beyond my expectation. And God can still do that. So the next prayer point, then we will sit down. I will give us some little teachings. Then we will see. I used to tell myself, the moment you are introducing the blood, prayer is just a formality. The moment you bring the blood of Jesus into a situation, It means every other thing has failed. So we just allow God to move. Tonight, go and take note of it. Within and immediately after this anniversary prayers, some of you will encounter an unusual favor.
Amen.
The next prayer point is you will cry unto the Lord. You will enlarge after today. You will begin to enlarge me beyond my imaginations. Lift up your hand and say, Father, after tonight, begin to enlarge me beyond my imaginations. Oh, yeah, begin to pray in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' precious name, we have prayed.
Amen.
In Jesus' precious name, we have prayed.
Amen.
Instead of you to go and sit down, maybe we should, I tell you, I'm enjoying you standing up. In the next few minutes, let's stand up. And I won't be long. The Sons of Glory. Do you know I was initially confused when I received the theme from your pastor? Glory itself is a song. Because there are certain things that will happen to you in life. Immediately people hear this, they will just burst into song. Oh, Tisheo. So glory. Naturally or spiritually will give back to a song. So when you now combine songs with glory, until I saw the scriptures, and then we now saw, as we decided, we talked about it yesterday, that to the end that my glory may sing songs. It means there are so many glory that are crying. Some people that are supposed to be great, whom the devil have bastardized. Some people that are supposed to be having businesses upon businesses, who are struggling and earning just a peanut. So by the grace of God, we pray yesterday that our glory will not be silenced.
Amen.
Let me add one or two to what glory can become. That's, you know, I don't want to waste our time tonight. Glory can be asleep. Glory can be asleep. You know, when the glory is asleep, it's not dead yet. The glory can be asleep for many years. Psalm 57 and verse 8. Psalm 57 and verse 8 says, I wake up, my glory awake. And he said, I myself will awake very early. If something is not sleeping, they cannot be telling that person to awake. In the book of 1 Samuel chapter 1 verse 5, the Bible spoke about a glory that is sleeping. You know, it is God who make man to sleep. If you want to sleep now, there is a power beyond you that will cause you to sleep. The Bible spoke about Anna. The Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 1 verse 5, that the Lord himself shut Anna's womb. So if it is God that has kept you where you are, so when you say, let my enemy die, you are just causing more problem for yourself. Okay, can Anna, what is the brother showing us that, okay, we don't have any, the Bible passage. When God said he was the one that shot Anna's womb. And Anna said, he said, it's the enemy that has caused this. So it means God is the enemy. There are some cases like that, that God deliberately allow you to be going through what you are going through. But when you walk in the spirit, you will walk in alignment with his plan to get you out of the problems. Yesterday, we keep talking about character, 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 character. When Anna was provoked by the second wife, maybe for several years, Anna has been answering her back. Me too, I will have my child. Me too, you know, and God will defend me. You are making just, but that year, the record did not tell her that Anna responded to the provocation. Immediately the provocation started, Anna just packed her Bible and went alone. Anna did not answer the one who was provoking her a word. And because the glory was sleeping, God, and he used God's method of dealing with the sleeping glory, God is said, just wake the glory up. And that single encounter changed the story of many years. So you will see character. When you talk about glory to be awakened, you will see character. Joseph's glory was silence. When he was supposed to fight anybody, he didn't fight. When he gained acceptance in the house of Potiphar, if it is you and I, he will borrow one of the house. You know, they use us those days to travel. He will just tell his Oga, please, okay, you give me 2 days holiday. I want to try go to the next village. He will not take the house to his family. Say, Joseph has come back home. They will kill, they won't allow him to reach where he was going. But when he got his liberty in the house of Potiphar, he aligned himself with his condition that, look, God bringing me here out of my family. Some of you, when God has separated you from your family, as soon as you get a little comfort, you go back to them. The fight many of you are fighting today is the fight of you want to, prominence. You want them to know that now you have arrived. You know, now ask yourself, at least there are 1 or 2 people here who has contributed to their problem because they were not sensitive enough that God separated them for a reason. So Joseph did not go back. In prison, when he was supposed to punish those people who were his boss, former boss friends, he didn't punish them. He went to show them kindness. Are you listening to me? So glory can be asleep. So when Anna did the right thing, God woke up the glory. She did the right thing. She came before the altar, cried to God. God, this reproach is too much. You know that I did not answer her. But help me to answer her. You know that when she was provoking me, I didn't answer, Lord. But help me to answer her. I think maybe she learned that from Moses. Now, when Korah, Datta, and Abiram were challenging Moses, the Bible says Moses did not talk. When Miriam and Aaron were challenging Moses, Moses did not talk. And God spoke. They became leper. Miriam became a leper for a while. So you are going to cry to the Almighty God. I will not complain again. But you will take care of this situation. I will not complain again. But take care of my situation. Go ahead and begin to pray. Take care of my situation. Pray, 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 pray. For that glory to wake up, you must follow God's principle. In Jesus' precious name, we pray.
Amen.
God is telling somebody listening to me tonight that that's your destiny that has been put on hold. We wake up tonight.
Amen.
You, in your spirit, you think you ought to have been out of where you are. Status must have changed. You know it, but at least some consolations, even in the word of God, has made you to think that oh, it's okay, whatever God has done is what God has done. But inside of you, you know that this is not the right place to be. You know. It means that destiny has been held captive. You know, there are some evil consolation. You know, I don't understand English too much, but the little that I can, I try to manage my words. Evil consolation means that what is going on with you is not good, but you are consoling yourself. You say, all things work together for good. Even though if God's hand is not there, you still believe God's hand is there. And you say, well, you are going to cry tonight, this second prayer point, that my destiny, wake up. Don't be asleep. Let heaven hear you. Say, Father, I decree tonight, my destiny, wake up! Pray, 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 pray. Wake up! The destiny of my children, wake up! The destiny of my family, wake up! My destiny, wake up! My destiny, wake up! My destiny, wake up! Wake up, 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 wake up. The destiny of my wife, the destiny of my children, the destiny of my ministry, wake up! Pray, 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 pray. My destiny, wake up! Wake up! In Jesus' precious name we pray.
Amen.
I was walking offshore close to Cameroon in the 90s. And they told me about a lady in the city called Port Harcourt in Nigeria whom I should pray with, believing God for an husband. And for me, the moment you invite me to a prayer like this, it's like you are injecting something in me. I won't have rest until I do what I need to do. So as the helicopter was bringing us offshore into Port Harcourt, as I was landing straight to the shop of the lady, I don't know whether it was a taxi that I joined or somebody helped me to drop me there. So I got to her shop. I said, she should lock up her shop. We want to pray. So I decreed into her life. The lady said, less than 2 weeks, three men came to say they want to marry her. That's not unusual. That's not unusual. No, that's not what amazes her. What she said was that in the past 2 years, I'm very beautiful. I have a shop, a business that I'm running. He said even a drunkard has not come to this shop and say, can I take you out? You know, in Africa now, somewhere you just see a beautiful girl, you say, what do you do? Can we go out for a lunch? He said, in 2 years, nobody ever invited her. Even a non-believer, let a non-believer just come and say, I want to take you out. At least a temptation, but let them even try it. He said, nobody ever attempted to say, I love you. Can we go out together for 2 years? Immediately after the prayer, he said, within 2 weeks, three men. And I wonder. I said, this destiny that has been sleeping is being woken up. Manage this man very well, otherwise you will lose the three of them. She lost the three of them again. But by the grace of God, by the time I now met her recently, she had twins three times. They just left the U.S. now. They came for vacation with the twins three times. So when God wake up a destiny, that's when the Bible says in Psalm 127 verse 1, it says, when the Lord returned the captivity of Zion, you want to cry again. We will do only, we did yesterday, destiny can be silent, and we have done destinies that can be asleep, and I'll do one more. You are going to cry. I didn't like the way you cried, sister. You didn't open your mouth when you were praying. You were praying inside. Ah, please, let me hear it. The psalmist says, I will cry, and the Lord will hear me. Blind Bartimaeus, if he was praying inside, Jesus will have gone far, and the blindness will have still be there. So see, the issue of crying is an attitude that God honored. You are going to cry to the Almighty God. My destiny, wake up from sleep. Wake up. Lift up your right hand and say, Father, I command my destiny. Wake up! In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Now, for destiny to be silent, that's a small thing if you can pray very well. We talk about Joseph's destiny silent. Some of you, you change from one point to the other, you are changing jobs, but this destiny actually is silent. Your job has not reflected your destiny. So this destiny is still silent. But at least you have opportunity to change job. Now, when we now come to the issue of destiny sleeping, that's a terrible situation. One of the examples is that of Anna, that of somebody who has been waiting for husband for 60 years. You find out that the destiny was sleeping, but it still has remedy. It could be waking up. The third level, that is a bit difficult. Is when the destiny ceases to exist. When the glory now ceases. Here, lady. Psalm 89, verse 44. He said, thou hast made its glory to cease and cast its throne down to the ground. The throne, you are a king before. And as a king, when the throne of a king is cast down, it means a king now becomes a servant. The throne, a king. And some of us are kingship products who are operating like a servant. Kingship product operating like a servant. How many of you are enjoying the teaching? Kingship product. But the glory has ceased. That requires serious prayers. Then when God is involved, we want to introduce the blood now. When the blood is introduced, you take care of it. That's the last battle that the children of Israel fought in Egypt. The moment they shed the blood, freedom came. Example of a seized glory is Lazarus. John 11:14. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Open to day by destiny. If not that Jesus is resurrection and life, where will some of us be? I've become a dumb before. I've been a dumb before in my life. What did the devil not try on me? Said, Lazarus is dead. Do you know that there are some destiny, some glory that has been locked and caged? That's why you see some people, some Africans, when they come here, when they are now 60 or 70 years old, you know, they, how are you, Father Daddy? How long have you been? I've been here for 35, 60, 40 years. I've been here for 50 years. And by the grace of God, I'm planning to go back home. I say, what a wasted life. Which home? Which home? You know, devil are so blindfolded their life that, for instance, if you are from Ibadan, for instance, in Nigeria, you are from Obomoso, Fiditi, Ilefe, where if you want to travel 30 minutes drive, you have to do 3 days drive fast. I want to go from Ibadan to Akure next week. I say next week, then look, yeah, better. I do a lot better. I will that's Monday. You are going next week Monday. So the person you are telling, your pastor that you are telling that you are traveling, will say you should start fasting and prayer from Saturday, Sunday, and end it on Monday before you travel. For 1 hour or 2 hours journey. Because the issue, when you hear the experience of kidnapping, the kidnapping is not a problem. But they will take you to inside the bush. Rain will, for you that is not used to that before, rain will be falling on you for 20 days, 30 days. They are on the same place until they come and rescue you. Somebody will tell me after living here for 50 years, they are going back home. I say, if that is your translation of home, I don't have a home anywhere. My home is here. Why? The scripture says, that's why if you are building houses all over the places in Africa, you are just wasting your resources. Bring all this money, go and buy a franchise that your children will inherit here. Those homes, nobody will stay there. Oman Gerard. In fact, some people, it is those homes that has taken their life away. Because the day you go and they see, the man who owns that home is living abroad. The day they see a light there, he's at home. That you are at home, the thieves around have heard that you are at home. Some people have been dead because of the house they built at home. Now, if the destiny is not seized, after spending 40 years, I met a young man one day. We wanted to start a church in that city in America. And they said, there's a Nigerian there. I said, take me to his house. Say, Daddy, please, come and help us. They didn't want to start a church here. I said, I'm going back home. Say, I've been here for 35 years. My children has graduated. I'm tired. This is a very difficult place to stay. This is nonsense. I said, after staying in a place for 30-something years, your children has graduated. It's now that you are knowing that the place is a bad place to live. They will use you. Slavery mentality is this. And I said, where are you going? And he mentioned that city. That city is very close to this sister's or our father's our hometown. The name of that city starts with F. I won't complete it. I don't know. So, and I happened to be familiar with that city. And I said, they don't have pipeline water. He said he was going to dig a well. I said, there's no frequent light. He said they will use a candle. When you are used to all this kind of light. And the person now said the remaining part of his, when he's now 70 years old, he's now going back. That is the kind of home at the end of, towards the end of your life. When the Bible says, mark the end of the righteous, he shall be well with them. So you now go where in the night they will just use one boot, knock the door, carry you. So those in that category have their glory seized. There's no solution. There is no solution here. And if they do not get solution here until they are 65, 70, solution cannot come from Fidity. It can't come from Obomosho or whatever. The moment you don't get it up to your 65, 70 here, and you are saying the house that you built, that snakes and everything has occupied. It's not a laughing matter. It's a very, very serious matter. So, if you see anybody that their glory is seized, that's the way they think. This is not their home. Their home, some of them will even tell you that when they die, they must not bury their body here. Now, the children that God has helped them to protect for 30 years, when they are like Ezekiah, when they die, they now say they want to expose those children to danger. They will now say, children, no, when I die, you know, you never been to my hometown, but you will go when I die, whether you like it or not, because the witches that will kill you, they will be waiting for, I want to introduce you to them when I die. They will now insist that the children they have not taken to their hometown, to their village for 30 years, they will not say when they die, the children should take them back there. So the children will not take them. They say, oh, he has hidden them for 30 years now. They say, it is very we are now here now. So when you have the mentality that your home is actually up there, you would take less risk to magnify any home here on earth. Our ultimate goal is to make heaven. So any tradition that will put you into trouble, that will not allow your glory to wake up, you have to destabilize that tradition. And what did Jesus did about that glory that was seized? There's difference between my glory sings praise, my glory wake up. When it comes to a glory that is seized, it's a come forth. Jesus said, the thought this glory is finished forever. The thought this glory has been terminated. They cut off the life of this glory. But when Jesus stepped in, he said, come forth. You are going to cry tonight. My glory that has ceased. Come forth. Lift up your hands, Father. comfort. The glory of my children, comfort. The glory of my wife, comfort. The glory of my ministry, comfort. The glory of my children, comfort. Comfort, 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 comfort. In Jesus' precious name we pray. In the camp, they told us a story, I think it was Pastor Badru's teaching or so, of somebody who was in UNILAG or so, and he was making 4 point something. He was in his last year. Very brilliant. Very, very brilliant. They said the best in the class. And his girlfriend was having problem in one of his courses, or of her courses. This boy was supposed probably to graduate in the next 3 or 4 months, or maybe the year that's supposed to graduate. And now, he now went and helped his girlfriend to sit for that course that the girlfriend was having problems. And then they caught him. At the last year, suppose I was making 4 point something. And he said, as we are talking, that was the end of his glory. He was resuscitated from school, and that was the end of his life. He did not get it back again. There are so many things that could mean a ceased glory. When glory is ceased, it's when somebody locked up himself in the... When I first came to Detroit, maybe because I worked, I'm from a very poor family, I worked and I worked in a very good place in Nigeria. When I saw people earning $8 per hour, and some of them have been doing the same job for 10 years, they call the job health support or what do you call them? CNA. Those days are minimum wage. And Africans, doing 3 jobs, 4 jobs, they won't come to church. Any holiday is an opportunity to work because they will get double pay. And they lock themselves in this kind of job. And do you know what? It's because they want to keep that vehicle running. They want to keep that big house running. So they cannot sacrifice anything to get out of that seed's glory. They still want to use that vehicle. They still want to keep that house. They don't want to keep that status. Go to parties when they want them to go. Buy the ghillie for 200 every two parties. Do all sorts of things. They want to keep the status quo. And then they kept their glory locked up. The another person will say, okay, that 3-bedroom, we are not going to stay there again. We are not going to buy that mortgage. We'll stay and we'll go to the cheapest place to stay. That islander that I'm using, I will change it to Volkswagen. And then I'm going to either retrain myself to be better off, look for a business that I can do. I met a young man in Detroit a few weeks ago. He was building a house next to my house. He came to America 2000, and he's now a multimillionaire. He has a ceramic industry. He has a furniture industry. He's an Arab. And he came as a plumber. All the Nigerian plumbers that came to this country, instead of going for certification in plumbing, they go and learn CNN. And after CNN, I read. CNA. You see somebody who has doctorate in geography. Dr. PhD geography, when they come, they will start with CNA. After CNA, RN. So, they automatically put their glory under lock. They lock the key of their glory and they throw the key into the sea. They've agreed with their destiny that they cannot be better. I'm not a motivational speaker, but sometimes I let you know that you are responsible to the problem of your life because of the way you think, because of the friends you keep, because of your mentality. You have locked up your glory. They see, when the light of the Word of God shines in the person's heart, it opens you up and you begin to see what direction you have to go. Let me deal with one more. I feel like talking. Amen. How many of you have enjoying the Word? It's different from yesterday anyway. Yesterday I was like fire. Today I'm teaching like a pastor, right? Your glory can be fresh. We've been talking about the negative ones, but you see, just talk about one that is positive. Job 29 verse 20. He said, my glory was fresh in me and my bone was renewed in my bow was renewed in my hands. For the glory to be fresh is to be restored. I'm going to cry to the Almighty God. There's nothing He cannot do. There's absolutely nothing God cannot do. Absolutely nothing that He cannot do. There's nothing God cannot do. You hear the story of our general overseer who wears shoe for the first time at age 18. And the man is now going on private jet. Go and Google people who have failed and come up again. He will tell you America, several Americans who have failed and come up again. The KFC, go and study his life. At age 50-something was when he started carrying frying pan from one gas station. He will say, I know how to fry chicken. And then they will say, yeah, do it. Then they will stay at the gas station. People are coming to buy gas. He will be giving them the fried chicken. They will be tasting it. And when they are used to it, he will sign an agreement with that gas station that, okay, can you continue to do this for everyone that you sell? Save this thing for me. That's my patent, this thing. Then he would put the frying pan in his boot. From Chicago, he will go to Detroit. Just study the life history of the founder of KFC. He was more than 55 years old when he started doing that. KFC is now all over the world. The problem you have is that you have not allowed God to open you up for an idea that will change your story. What a day. I don't know why God is just bringing all this. He said, even though I lost my 10 children, that's what Job is saying. He lost his 10 children, he lost his business. And I said, but however, my glory was fresh in me. There's something in me beyond what I'm going through. Something in me that's supposed to take its proper place. Something that's supposed to spring forth. Something that's supposed to come forth. So my glory was fresh in me. You are going to cry to the Almighty God. By fire, by thunder, you got to restore my glory. You have to restore it. It has to be fresh. Because it's fresh, it has to be restored. By fire, by thunder, restore my glory. Restore my glory. Restore my glories. In Jesus' precious name, we pray. Please, pardon me, let me add one. Let me add one. And the one that I'm adding is very close to the way we started. Songs of glory. Your glory can rejoice. Now, it means you can differentiate between glory, singing praise, and glory, rejoicing. You can be singing praise without being joyful. Somebody come to church. He just lost his job. And they are staying praise and worship. He may even be the choir leader that will sing the praise and worship because it's an assignment. He's just on duty. But he lost his job. It happened in this church. I'm a prophet. So choir leader lost her job. And that Sunday she's supposed to sing praise. So there is difference between singing praises and glory rejoicing. Psalm 16 and verse 9. He said, therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoice. So I'm not just singing the praise. I'm singing it from the heart of joy. Singing it from the heart of assignment is different from singing it from the heart of joy. My glory will begin to rejoice. Yeah. You are going to cry to the Almighty God. You will say, Father, let my glory rejoice. Go ahead and begin to pray. Let my glory rejoice. Father, I release the blood of Jesus over this. The blood of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus. 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 In Jesus' precious name, we pray. It's okay. Can you stretch your hands upon the altar and plead the blood of Jesus over the bread and over the wine that it will change your life completely from today. It will revive your glory that by the blood of Jesus, by the bread that I want to take, the wine that I want to drink, the anointing that I want to have, my glory will be restored. My glory will. In Jesus' precious name, we pray. In Jesus' precious name, we pray. Can we come to the front and listen to what happened the first day that this communion was instituted in Egypt? In Exodus chapter 12 and from verse 11 to 16, the Bible says, and God said, and thus shall ye eat it. This is the manner in which you will eat it to get out of the bondage in Egypt. He said, with your lions guided, ready to move out, ready. You are getting ready to get out of your trouble. your shoes on your feet, your staffs in your hand, ready, standing, and ye shall eat it in a haste. It is the Lord's Passover to change your story.
Amen.
Leon's guided. Shoes on your feet. Staff in your hand. Ready to go. You have been taking communion. This is a communion of Passover. He said, "For I will pass through the land tonight. And those who have kept you in bondage, they will begin to cry." We may be few tonight, but few that will testify. Few that will be victorious. Few that will soon encounter a breakthrough. And listen. He said, "And this day shall be unto you for a memorial. Ye shall keep it as a feast to the Lord." So remember the 10th anniversary of this church. That generations that will be hearing about what God will do from today, they will be, "I remember that day when Pastor Adeniji came for our 10th year anniversary. My life has never remained the same again." Why? Because they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. Go ahead and begin to thank the Lord. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' precious name, we pray. I'm the one that will distribute it to everybody because we are not many and want to do exactly what will change our story. Father, we thank you very much for your greatness, for leading us through tonight's program and the ministrations and the word. Lord, that record breakthrough, record victory, that thing you will do that no one will forget forever, a reference point to the power of God. After this communion, you will do it. In our lives, you will do it. In our homes, you will do it. In our ministry, you will do it. And we'll be able to return the glory back.
Amen.
To the one who is, the one who was, the one who is coming.
Amen.
The most excellent God, immortal God, invisible God, to him be glory forever and ever and ever. In Jesus' name. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took the bread and broke it. And when he has given thanks, he said, "Take and eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the name of God the Father,
amen.
God the Son,
amen.
God the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you. Thank you for your power. Thank you for your presence in our midst. Oh Lord, thank you for the healings. Thank you for the healings. Thank you for restoring. Thank you for redeeming a new beginning. After the same manner also he took the cup when he has supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. In the name of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Please, you remain standing immediately. You take it. The choir will start leading us in a very powerful worship and silent songs. In Jesus' name. Remain standing, close your eyes wherever you are. Hallelujah. Close your eyes and lift up your two hands. Hallelujah.
You made a way.
Precious name, we pray.
Amen.
Lift up your two hands before the Almighty. Father, we thank you
Lord.
For what you have wrought in our midst tonight. For a prolonged battle that you have won on our behalf. For curses that have been broken. For yoke that has been broken. For burdens that have been lifted up. The Bible says, but know that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself, that the Lord will hear when we call. I command that from today you are set apart.
Amen.
To fulfill your purpose.
Amen.
Set apart.
Amen.
To be victorious.
Amen.
Set apart.
Amen.
For a breakthrough.
Amen.
Set apart.
Amen.
To be successful.
Amen.
Set apart.
Amen.
To be lifted up.
Amen.
Set apart.
Amen.
To begin to increase.
Amen.
Set apart.
Amen.
To multiply.
Amen.
Set apart.
Amen.
To overtake.
Amen.
Set apart.
Amen.
For a testimony.
Amen.
In the name.
Amen.
Of Jesus. Father, we thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Praise the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Put your hands together for Jesus. Put your hands together for Jesus. What else can we give this God? You see, I think it's Galatians chapter 5 verse 3 or so. Or 3 verse 5. He said, he that minister the things of the Spirit to you, does he do it by the works of the flesh or by the hearing of faith? He that ministered the things of the Spirit and doeth miracles amongst you said he does it not by carnal mind but by the hearing of faith. So because now our faith has been activated, so the next thing we need to do is to walk in that faith. The challenge we have is that after we have had such an encounter, we downplayed and downsized the magnitude of what God has done in the spirit realm. So I want you to leave here tonight with that strong faith and begin to walk in line of the faith that your destiny has been restored.
Amen.
Your glory has waken up.
Amen.
That there is a new beginning from today.
Amen.
So because of that, I will just ask us to dance for another. We are supposed to close before 12. We are only 5 minutes. Okay, we can do 5 minutes.